I have two texts this morning. Dennis, you can take your choice whenever you get ready to text this thing out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's one. Two, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I am tired of hearing preachers, teachers, and Christians advocating how easy it is to just do what they want to and then say, Lord, I'm sorry, and believe that the Lord's just going to forgive them. And it's okay to just keep doing that. We need to change our attitude. Instead of being able to just convince people how easy it is for God to forgive them, we need to teach people to be obedient in the first place, and then you don't have to ask for forgiveness. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I want to use a very familiar portion of the Word of the Lord this morning, and it illustrates probably better than any other portion that I can think of how that God speaks to His children, in this case, to His servant in particular, gives very explicit instructions as to what He wants, how that we understand, and how this individual understood, and then put his own twist on it, gave it his own interpretation, blamed everybody else for the problem, and finally had to acknowledge that the fault was his, and then to say, I'm sorry. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't think for a second that sin does not have a price to be paid. And before you jump to the conclusion that then implies that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, that He came and paid the price for all of our sins. He paid the price for our sin of unbelief. And there are sins that you and I as God's children commit that we are going to pay for as we live here upon the face of the earth. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken now. 15th chapter, 1 Samuel. Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way that which he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now then, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to cover about 35 verses in the next 25 minutes. So you can see I'm going to move very quickly through this. I want to stop right there and just remind you that God doesn't forget. God will see that His word is fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle. Everything He has taught in His word has either come to pass, is coming to pass, or is going to come to pass. As old John said, that which was from the beginning, that which is now, and that which is going to be. We need to understand that God is going to see that His word is fulfilled right down to the very smallest detail. God spoke through the old prophet Samuel and said, you go tell King Saul that I remember 400 years ago what Amalek did whenever that I was bringing the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and I want you to go down there now and I want you to destroy them. Destroy them. I don't want you to leave anything. You destroy everything there's about. We're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Here again, Saul knew exactly what the Lord had told him to do. God's children are not in darkness. God's children are not in ignorance. God's children choose to know as much about the will of God as they want to. God does not limit our ability to learn. Only does he teach in his word, he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth, I believe it says knowledge. He that lacketh knowledge, let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. If we want to know the will of God, we can know the will of God. We have no excuse in the eyes of the Lord. And we need to understand that. God's word is so plain, it is so simple that even I can understand it. And if I can understand it, you can understand it, because I'm as simple-minded as they come. He doesn't put it in big fancy terminology where that you and I have to go to get the dictionary every time to look it up to see what did he mean. I want you to know that he makes it simple enough that we can understand it. Bible says that his way is so plain that a fool wayfaring there would not err therein. We need to know this morning what God's will is in our lives, individually, collectively. We need to know what it is. And God certainly is willing to reveal that unto us, and does reveal that unto us. And many times we do know what it is that God is saying in his word. Gets down here, Saul does. He's got the resources available to him. God doesn't just do things and then not make provision for us to be able to do the job. I can vouch for that. I know that from my own personal experience, that God never puts more upon us than what we can bear and what we can do. Sometimes we don't think we can, and sometimes we can't within ourselves. It does take his help, and I want you to certainly know that. Anyway, he gets down here, and the Bible says, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and of all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. I want you to notice what happens. He gets down here. He knows what he's supposed to do. But what does he do? He looks around, and the first thing he does is he needs a trophy. He needs to have him something tangible that he can take back and show off. Too much of the time, we as Christians need a trophy. We want something that we can show off. We want something that we'll be able to say, look what we have done. And that's exactly what Saul did when he looked here and he said, look at him, there's the king. I'm going to spare him. I'll take him back. And then they started looking around, and they decided that there were some good animals in those herds, and they would spare them. That isn't what God told them to do. God said, you go down there and you destroy all of them. We like to pick and choose today. We're as guilty of it as anyone. You can say whatever you want to, but I can assure you that we as individuals and we as a church are guilty of wanting to pick and choose. And we'll do what we want to do and what we like to do and what's fun to do and what's good to do in the eyes of the Lord. But when it gets a little bit tougher, well, maybe that isn't what that we'll do. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. to know this. The Lord speaks unto the old servant Samuel, and he says, I'm sorry that we set, it repenteth me. I'm sorry that we set Saul up to be the king. And he has gone back from following me and has not performed my commandment. That's important that you remember what the Lord said unto Samuel. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. I could not help but thinking, I certainly don't want to get sidetracked here because again I'm running. I could not help but grieve today, this week, as I watched the families and those children coming out of that school. What a tragedy we're experiencing here among our people. I'm not going to get up here this morning and get into the political aspects of it because it's not mine to do. But it is mine to say that we need to grieve over things like this. And we need to be concerned about tragedies that are happening. And we need to re-examine our own lives and our own standards and our own morals. And we, I'm convinced this morning, are guilty here in Hickory County of espousing some of the things that are bringing about the tragedies in the lives of people. And we need to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves and see whether or not we are passing these things on to the next generation and what we're advocating they do. Sometimes I think it probably means one. The Bible says Samuel, when he heard the Lord speak unto him and say, Saul did not do what I told him to do, it grieved him. We've become hardened people. It's a fulfillment of the scripture. I recognize that. But I don't know that we should have to be the one who are the ones who are fulfilling that. When it says men will become lovers of pleasure and lovers of selves more than lovers of God. We are living in a time whenever that people are more concerned about what's in it for them than it is for what's in somebody else. We're more concerned about whether or not we've got this or we've got that and whether that we're meeting this standard or that standard than we are the souls of men that are lost. And every day, there are people who are dying. There are people who are dying in our communities, and some of them, you often wonder what their situation was with the Lord. You never know. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, he was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I used to say that lost people can lie to you, look you right square in the eye and lie to you. And they can. I've gone to people and asked them about the soul, and they can look like, are you lost? Oh no, I'm not lost. Look you right square in the eye and tell you that. But let me tell you something. Saved people will lie just as much as lost people will. And they can look you right in the eye and lie to you. Oh, Saul meets Samuel. Samuel's coming down the road. His heart's heavy. He's grieved. Oh, Saul, he's a stepping along a pretty high step. He's pretty cocky. He's pretty confident. Bless me, thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, I probably would have been so blunt as to say just what I said to you a minute ago. Save people a lie. They'll lie to you. They'll lie to me. You kind of expect that out of lost people, but you don't always expect that out of saved people, but I guarantee you they will. Some of them, do you know the only hypocrites there are saved people. Lost people aren't hypocritical. They don't have to be. They're already lost. They know it. But we as saved people, we many times are lying and being hypocritical because we're saying one thing and doing another. And that's being hypocritical. And Samuel said, see, I just said, Saul, you're lying to me. The Lord's already told me. But that isn't what Samuel did. Listen. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep and the, in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now, if you've done what the Lord told you to do, how come I'm hearing these sheep and these oxen out here? Something's not quite right here. And Saul said, they have brought the best of the, I've lost my place. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, yes. They did it. Not me. They were told. Saul was told. They weren't the ones who spared. Saul was the one who was told. And then if it isn't enough to just say, well, they're the ones that are at fault, but I want to tell you why they did it. They did it to sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, it grates on my nerves sometimes when I'm having to deal with a situation where I know the person is lying. And they'll say, but God told me to do that. God is leading me. I had a lady in the church when I was in Santa Paula came to me one time. And she said, you know what? The music program here is just not sufficient for me. I just, you know, can't understand why we can't do better. I thought we were doing pretty good. It wasn't like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I'll have to admit, but we did a pretty good job. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you know. I mean, I think our people are doing the best they can. And I know you're a very talented person. Well, I think God's going to lead me somewhere else. And I went, yeah, I'm sure God's going to lead you somewhere else. You're going to go somewhere else just because you want to go. But I couldn't say that. I wasn't quite, Bart, I'm not quite as subtle about things like that as Samuel was when he said to Saul, if you've done what the Lord told you, I'm hearing some things out here I shouldn't be hearing. And Saul said, oh, the people, they took them, but they took them that they could sacrifice them unto the Lord. Doesn't that sound good? Well, we just ought to be impressed about that. They're going to sacrifice these wonderful animals unto the Lord. Lord didn't want those animals. He had the cattle of 1,000 hills. He didn't need these. He said, you go down there and wipe them out. That's what I want you to do. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Oh, now we're getting a little closer here. We're warming up a little bit now. He finally says, oh, yeah, I did bring the king, but everything else I've destroyed. But the people took of the sheep and of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hast the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now think about that. Samuel said to Saul, do you think the Lord has as great delight in you bringing those sacrifices to offer unto him as he would have unto you listening to him in the first place? Now, that's where I picked up on my comments in the early part of the service whenever I was saying, you know, I'm tired of hearing people, oh, yeah, just come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, and God's going to forgive you. Let's stop saying that and let's start saying, let's obey the voice of the Lord in the first place, and then we don't have to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. God teaches in His Word that I, as one of His children, know His voice. I know when He speaks unto me. I know what He says unto me. And whether I listen to Him is not whether it's up to you or anybody else. It's up to me as to whether I'm obedient unto Him. But I can do like Saul was doing. I can blame everybody else. Oh, you know, if the church would do this, the church was doing that, if this person was doing that, or that person was doing that. Let me tell you something. I am accountable unto the Lord for Kent Parson. I am accountable to the Lord for how I handle His Word. I am accountable unto Him as to how I preach His Word. And I'm not accountable to the church or anyone else when it comes down to the final analysis. Well, I'm accountable to the church as a pastor, so whether or not they want to keep me as a pastor or not, but I was a preacher long before I was a pastor. And God didn't just call me to be a pastor. I used to think He'd call me to be an evangelist, but I guess I changed on that over the years because that went by the wayside. Anyway, hath the Lord in His greater delight in burnt offering sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now then, I'm going to get around. I'm going to admit that I'm wrong, but I want you to know why I did it. You know, I did that because I was afraid of those people. He's the king. He's the king. He's the law of the land. He's the one, as it's spoken, it was law. And now he stands here before the old servant of God and says, oh, I did it. I sinned. I'm wrong, but I was afraid of those people. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And also this, then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. This is Saul speaking. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord his God in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul unto the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Saul did not carry out the instructions of the Lord as the Lord had given him instructions. But the Lord's work was carried out. It was carried out by a man who should not have been put in the position of carrying it out. Samuel was the prophet of God, but he was the one who had to finish up what should have been done by Saul. I hope I do not leave my work unfinished, that someone has to finish it. And I said, my work. The work will go on long after I'm gone. I know that. It'll go on. God's work is going to go on as long as he leaves man here upon the earth. He'll see that it's fulfilled. I'm so thankful this morning that I have the opportunity, first of all, to be one of his children, to hear his voice, to know his voice, and to have the option of whether I listen and heed or whether I listen and reject. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful this morning that I have the opportunity to stand and tell people about the greatest person that ever lived here upon the face of the earth. That I can, without any hesitation or reservation whatsoever, say to each and every person that I ever come in contact, that's the best person in the world that you'll ever get acquainted with. He's the best person that you can ever have as a friend. But most of all, it's most important that he be your Savior, because that's the only way that you're going to get into heaven, is to have him as such. God is going to get the job done, folks. He lets us know, individually and collectively, what it is that he wants done. He left us. First of all, he left us the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead. He left him here among us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. And then he blessed us by leaving his word, that we might study it, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he commissioned his church, which he left here in the world, to preach that gospel to the souls of all men. And then out from among the very basis and the very offscouring of the earth, he called men to preach his word. And I will guarantee this morning that until he finally says that's enough, there'll be men who'll be preaching it. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I hope that in this year of 2018, that we as individuals and we as a church can rise to the challenge and hear and say, as the final prophet of the Lord did, "Hear my Lord, send me."